Awesome. I have a question from your grateful reader, Vatsala Prabhu.
Who?
Krishna, from Vatsala Prabhu. He's from Moscow, one of seniors.
Uh-huh.
Krishna Prabhu говорит, что у него есть вопрос от благодарного. I tell in Russian first. Krishna is gone to chant some extra rounds on behalf of somebody or for somebody, and also the like practice to chant kirtans for on behalf of somebody, for somebody's like prosperity, welfare. Yeah. So the question is, isn't it the eighth offense of the holy name?
Which is?
Karma kanda.
That's a matter of motivation, not necessarily a matter of activity, the eighth offense. I've done a couple of podcasts on this question because it's come up to me as well, and I sort of question the practice myself. No, it's not that I have questions. I said I brought this point up on the podcast, and I said that I have questions about this practice. The first question I have is that it was certainly something that we didn't do in Srila Prabhupada's time. You can certainly pray for someone, and that's a practice of Vaishnavas to pray for the benefit of others. So Prabhupada told us to do that when he was very sick, that we could pray to Krishna for Prabhupada's recovery. But he didn't tell us to chant any rounds on his behalf. Although we also had 24-hour kirtan, for Prabhupada, you could say. And I would assume that the importance of that practice was for more than just Srila Prabhupada's well-being. It was also to put us in the right consciousness and to get us to chant Hare Krishna for that particular reason. Or under that particular pretext. But it wasn't that Prabhupada was going to get the benefit, instead of us getting the benefit of chanting Hare Krishna, he was going to get the benefit of chanting Hare Krishna. The benefit is such that if you chant Hare Krishna, then the whole world is automatically benefited by that sound vibration, which includes the person who's chanting and everyone else who hears or even who doesn't hear. But this idea that I'm chanting Hare Krishna or I'm doing japa for someone and they get my benefit, that Prabhupada did not say. In other words, the person who's chanting still gets benefit, and the person on whose behalf he chants, they also get benefit. Everyone benefits. But not that the person who chants loses or gives up all benefit. Yeah, even if you're praying on someone else's behalf, you get benefit because you're thinking about Krishna, you're praying to Krishna, you're focusing your mind on Krishna, you benefit from all those activities. It isn't that you become devoid of benefit. So, for instance, if we say that we're chanting Hare Krishna, or we're having a kirtan, and we're dedicating that kirtan to someone else, perhaps they're sick or deceased, it's just that we're going to remember them, and they're going to benefit by the remembrance of the Vaishnavas. But this thing of chanting extra rounds for someone and someone else is going to get the benefit of, you're going to give the benefit of your rounds to someone else, I don't believe that that's a practice that generally the Vaishnavas do. If we want to benefit someone else, then the best thing to do is to either give them transcendental knowledge or make some specific effort to help them, which means by being with them, chanting Hare Krishna for them in their physical presence. So when Prabhupada was leaving, then he wanted all the devotees to come to him. He said that they should come and they should just chant there with him. He didn't tell them to give up the results of their japa for him. He told them to come there personally. And probably for many devotees, the quality of their japa is such that they're not going to do very much good to others with it, and they need to get all the benefit they can themselves. Who's translating, by the way?
My name is Vrajavin Das Maharaj. I'm
Bhaktivinoda Goswami Maharaj's secretary.
Very good. Anyway, you're translating very well. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, what's next?
Следующий вопрос.
Кришна, привет.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Я бы хотел...
Да, about my counselor, about my counselor, Mataji Dushyamani. She is now about to leave her body.
Она...
What has she got? What sickness does she have?
А что у нее за... Several years back she had some head trauma, injury, and now this disease progressed. So she cannot, like, she's discombobulated, she cannot control herself, like, focus her consciousness. So Mother Krishnapriya says that it looks like her prana is, like, fixed, is exhausted and cannot stay in the body.
Uh-huh.
It's 70 years now.
Uh-huh.
Из-за этой травмы головы ей всегда было тяжело.
In Krishna consciousness for 19 years now, but it's always been difficult for her to focus her consciousness during her chanting because of this injury. But still, she tried her best.
Uh-huh.
And because she was following her vows.
Uh-huh.
Но у нее дар заботиться о преданных. Она всегда, несмотря на...
Taking care of devotees. She always inspired devotees for chanting, for the boon distribution, for harinams. For namahat. For their sadhana, personal sadhana.
Very nice.
Such a condition that she cannot even hold her bees in her arms, and she cannot walk. So some days she cannot even fulfill her, like, gentle 16 rounds.
Hare Krishna.
No.
Still she can participate in some short phone calls, and during those phone calls she can inspire devotees for devotional service. Spiritual Master Prabhu Vishnu Swami told you that she can chant as many rounds as possible, but she should go on serving devotees as much as possible. Very much upset because she cannot, like, chant her rounds with good quality. She still continues to serve devotees. How can I help her with the solace? Because how can I help her? Is it actually so, like, so bad that she cannot chant her rounds, or there is some hope for her?
I don't know why it's an issue.
Магараш, я не понимаю, в чем здесь, собственно говоря, вопрос, проблема.
If her spiritual master said that it's all right and she doesn't have to worry about it, why is she worrying about it? Why is anyone
worrying about it?
You understand? Then what's the problem if Prabhu Vishnu Maharaj says he already understands the situation and he says she shouldn't worry about it?
Понимаете?
So if she doesn't listen to what Prabhupada Vishnu Maharaj says, then why is she going to listen to you or me? So all you need to do is emphasize the fact that, you know, Prabhupada Vishnu Maharaj had already said that, so then it's fine. Just like when Haridas Thakur was too old and Lord Chaitanya told him that he didn't have to chant so many rounds. Right, so that's all. That's what she needs to simply accept that. And if she can chant more, that's fine. And if not, then that's all right.
So that she shouldn't be so much worried and obsessive.
No.
Also, she asked me to convey her gratefulness to you for this book, Krishna Sangati.
У нее сейчас есть эта книга, она ее понемногу читает.
No, when she goes on reading it a little bit every day.
I'm glad.
И она говорит, что когда она ее читает, то
when she reads this book, she can realize that Krishna is very close and the spiritual world is the actual reality. And she can feel herself that the thing, everything that surrounds us is actually Maya, as the scripture says. This is because only thanks to you, only because you wrote this book in such a wonderful way, and this is the only solace for her now when she is on the verge of death.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Anyway, I'm glad that she's finding some solace from reading that book. That's the purpose of writing this. Today I think the conference is very good. It's very quiet and there's no ringing coming in and there's no background noise. Isn't it? I think it's peaceful like that for everyone. Anyone have any questions or anything you want to talk about?
Yes, Jairam has a question. About the happiness that we started a couple of conferences back.
Okay. Is she happy?
Преданные часто проходят.
Devotees go through this Usahamaya stage and then some crisis appears and after that they just start all over.
I didn't understand that. Can you say that again?
She says that often devotees go through this Usahamaya label or stage. And after that they face some crisis after which they can start all over, like start from the very beginning. When devotees just neophytes, when they are going through this Utsahamaya, they are usually very happy. They like the austerities, they like everything. And this stage can continue for several years.
Right.
Sorry, this was my clock. I'm sorry. Crisis comes and the taste goes away and it's very difficult to practice at that point. And after that you have to start up lower, but it should be conscious now, it should be the new quality. So I would like to ask you to deliberate about this. If it actually happens with everybody, then maybe if it's typical, maybe you could explain it to us, speak about it.
Okay. Let's go a little further into continue from where we were the last time. Devotees experiencing happiness is not necessarily utsamayi. It's not necessarily their false enthusiasm. But rather, happiness in Krishna consciousness comes from a combination of different causes. First is that people actually are coming in contact with the absolute truth with Vaishnavas, with the holy name, after suffering for so long in the material world. In other words, that you found something that you're looking for such a long time, that really brings a real sense of happiness, and that's real. Then after devotees start to practice Krishna consciousness, then two things, right? They become free from sinful reaction, and they really enter into auspicious life, association of Vaishnavas, prasada, and so many wonderful things. And that's also real. That's not Mayi. That's Satya. It's not Maya. But it's built upon a very beginning faith, or a very weak faith. Yeah, the faith is weak. And obviously, being in the material world, then crisis happens in people's lives. If devotees are not very much learned, if they're not very advanced, they're not prepared for these crises. They think that if they're devotees, then Krishna should actually be protecting them from these things, which is not the symptom of pure devotional service. You don't want liberation, you don't want protection from sinful reaction from Krishna, you just want to serve Krishna. So in a weak condition like that, then devotees' faith becomes shaken. Something happens to them, or something happens to a family member, or which is the natural course of karma in material life. And because their faith is weak, then they may give up devotional practices, or they may lose their enthusiasm, or they may feel less confidence in the process of Krishna consciousness. In this case, devotee's happiness was real, but it was a happiness that was not based upon the full conception or expectations of Krishna consciousness. It was based on, or it was mixed with an idea that, you know, now I come to Krishna consciousness, now nothing bad is going to happen to me in life. So the happiness of a serious Vaishnava has to be a little deeper rooted than the superficial happenings that take place in the world as a result of one's past karma. If the happiness is rooted in a taste for the holy name, the relish for reading Srimad Bhagavatam, deep association with Vaishnavas, then the so-called crises will not change a devotee's progress in Krishna consciousness. They won't start over again. They will continue. They will be able to, they may react to it, but they will continue. And that type of happiness has another type of conception. It's not based upon a selfishness that I'm happy when I'm happy. It's based on the conception that I'm happy when Krishna's happy. If Krishna allows, for instance, that one of my family members dies, or if I lose my business or something like that, then that's all right. I'll be happy living like that because I still have the holy name and the Vaishnavas association. So, just like we're advancing in Krishna consciousness, we need to go forward. We can't be satisfied with the initial pleasures of when we first come to devotional service. We have to go deeper. Just like when someone is 2 years old, then they can get their pleasure from playing ball. That's all right, because that's the dharma of a child. But when you're 15 years old, then you shouldn't be getting pleasure from playing ball. Then you should get pleasure from studying, because that's the dharma of a teenager. And then when you're 25 years old, then your dharma should not be studying, but your dharma should then be working, and you get your pleasure from that, because that way, for instance, you're making your livelihood and maintaining your family. But when you're 25 years old, you still want to get pleasure from playing ball, then you'll have problems in life, serious problems, because you're not growing up. Yeah, so devotees in Krishna consciousness, they also have to grow, and as they grow, and their happiness also grows, and that way it is shushukam kartum avyayam. It's not disturbed. It's perpetual. Okay. Yes. So that's dear Mati. So anyway, my point was is that if you want to get results of activities that, or at least you want to take pleasure from things you took pleasure in when you first come to Krishna consciousness, when you become a mature older devotee, then that's not right. You have to change. You have to keep pace. More is expected.
Именно слово.